Good evening, everyone. My name is Turk Akbay. Welcome to ASAP for Larry Goins Inner Circle students. I hope everyone is having a good Labor Day. I think it is. Let's see who's from where. I think there's a couple people online already. Who's online? Hello? Anyone? Perfect. Okay, let's get started. Good evening, everyone. This is Larry Goins Inner Circle ASAP Advanced Success Accountability Program. My name is Turk Akbay. I'm here on Larry's behalf helping you become better entrepreneurs, better real estate investors. Based on your feedback in the last meeting, tonight we're going to talk about defining your customers. Defining your customers is really important. And it's always easier or better to define our customers before we start investing money on marketing than creating a product or establishing a marketing strategy and then hoping to find customers. So defining your customers means this: you establishing the essential qualities of your customers, meaning what are the must-haves of your target audience ahead of time before you started sinking money into your marketing strategy. And this is really important to know your customers ahead of time so you can actually, as I'm going to explain as we progress on the benefits of it. But, yeah, let's talk about that. Why do you want to define your customer? What's the big deal about knowing your customer ahead of time? First, because you want to save money on marketing. You want to save time because you want to have a better return on your investment, on your marketing dollars, because you don't want to compete with others. And, of course, knowing your customer makes life easier. What I mean by that is knowing your customer, and I do often ask people when they ask me for business advice, I say, who's your customer? Who are you going after? If someone tells me I'm going after everyone, well, that's not really possible. There must be some sort of a better niche. And when I say defining your customers, that's what I mean. So, those are the reasons why it's important to establish your or defining your customers ahead of time, because like I said, you want to save money, you want to save time, you want to have better return on investment, to cut down on competition, having access to your farm, to your marketing, and it makes life easier. Of course, as you learn more about your customer, as market changes, as the game changes, as you learn more, these are all going to be adjusted. So it's going to be an ongoing adjustment to your profiles. But you want to start somewhere. Spend money on marketing. So how do we define our customers, right? To be able to do this, each transaction has two parts. So for you to be able to successfully define your customers, first you have to define yourself. Now, I'm not sure the people who are on the call, we've started doing this in earlier calls, like call number one, call number two, we're discovering your self-discoveries. If you've been doing your homework, those are the things that you've done. But if you're a newcomer, if this is your first time calling, what I mean by when you define yourself is this. What do you enjoy doing? How does this, your things that you like to do, how can you bring the things that comes to you naturally into your real estate game? Do you have gifts? Do you have, what's an ideal fun day for you? What's an ideal week for you? What are the kind of people that you like to work with? What are your resources? What do you have, money? Do you have time? Are you new? Are you an established person? Kind of what do you bring to the table? When you're discovering these things, you want to be as honest as you can. For example, one of the things that I think comes to me easily is I'm able to take complex ideas and make them simple. So if I know this, then I can work around this, if that makes sense. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to define things that are fun for you, not necessarily kind of digging into, what kind of the real estate is fun for me. Yes, you want to do that, but it's better for you to first work on yourself and then bring that into you, to your real estate game. And it's also important when you're doing this, defining your part in the game, is the things that you really hate, the people that you don't want to deal with, the things that you don't want to do, that does not come to you naturally, and you'd rather go die than do this, whether it's cold calling or dealing with foreclosures or whatever. So again, remember here, what you're working on, developing a profile for yourself. So when it's done, you want to be able to do, it's better if you write it, of course, you want to be able to come up with a profile like this. For example, this is a simple example, like, I enjoy solving problems for people type of XYZ. I like working with young people. I want to spend my weekends at home, or I like to spend most of my time alone, or I like to speak to families, or I like to speak to larger group of people, etc., etc., etc. So you're essentially coming up with a profile for yourself. So once this is done, you want to now think in terms of, take the people that you want to work with from this profile that you come up with for yourself, and think in terms of your customers. Now, when I say customer, for real estate investors, you usually have two or three customers for your product or for your services. You have a seller that you buy from, and then you have a buyer that you sell to. These are, of course, different profiles, because people you buy from are not the same people that you sell to. So when I'm identifying my customers, and you want to remember this, misidentifying the customer usually is an important ingredient of why businesses fail, not knowing their customer or misidentifying them. So while I'm creating my buyer, let's start with the seller profile, right? Because if you don't buy one, if you can't buy a real estate, you can't sell it. Let's just presume that. So if I'm working for a seller, now I want to think in terms of a profile, just like I've done for myself. Who's my typical seller? And this is going to be based on either demographics of the people, if you're buying rentals, if you're flipping foreclosures, if you're doing money, right? So the seller profile, as well as a second thing to consider is if you're working on a farm area. So in this area, you don't want to just go, hey, I'm only interested in Houston, three-bedroom, one-bath houses. You want to be a little bit more specific, more thinking into your sellers, the people that you're buying from. So essentially, you want to be answer the question, who is my seller, and where does he or she live, or who is my seller and what kind of real estate he or she is looking to sell. You want a specific, focused answer to that question. So you'll end up with a profile of a person who you're going to buy from. And then the next one is, of course, your buyers, the people that you sell to. You also want to look for that too, based on your game plan, right? Because you want to think in this time, I think, if you're trying to flip, your buyer is going to be maybe another real estate investor, right? Versus if you're going to hold, your buyer is going to be somewhere down the line. So it's different kind of people. So these are, again, based on your game plan that you want to develop a profile for your buyer. So you want to be able to answer this question. Who's my buyer and what kind of a house he or she is looking for? So if you are planning on flipping house to another investor, so you actually have a third customer, and that's your buyer's customer, right? Because if you are going to flip it to another real estate investor, and if you're trying to flip an unsellable house to another investor, they're not going to buy. And so you want to think in terms of, how can I make the next person's job easier? So be aware of this, that if you are providing, if you are the middleman for your customer, you want to think in terms of their customer. All right? So by the end of this kind of work, you have two or three profiles of kind of the things that you like, like your buyer's profile, your seller's profile, and your profile. Are you paying attention to these things? If you do really focus on these three profiles, your game, you're going to be able to take your game to the next level really fast. And this will apply to all businesses, not just real estate. So now I have three profiles based on your next move. One of these people are going to be one of these type of people are going to be more important for you, right? Again, if you're trying to flip a house, you're going to need a buyer so you can sell them. If you're looking to rent properties, then you need to work on your sellers because you need to buy homes. So what's going to happen is you have to pick one or the other, and let's just say for our purposes, you're looking for your sellers first. Now, I would spend next 30 days on what I call a recon mission. What you're doing on this next 30 days on your profile, you're going to study without judging good or bad. You're just going to study this demographic, your buyer's profile. If you know, let's say that you are looking for a 25 to 50 year old college educated to husband and wife team with no kids looking for a three-bedroom, two-house in Valentine area. Or I'm looking for somebody who is just upcoming. Or I'm looking for somebody, I'm looking for a house in Myers Park, so I'm going to deal with somebody who's rich. Or you're looking for whatever that profile was, you want to spend the next 30 days studying them. Go to where they go, shop where they shop, look at what they are looking at. This will show you what your customers want to look at. It will tell you what your customers want to hear. And you will get to feel what your customers want to feel. So what you're doing is you're essentially becoming that person in that 30 days. Now, you have the language of your customers. You know what they like to look at. You know how they like to be communicated to. You're able to watch and see how they make their buying decisions. And when I say buying decisions, right? Decision to yes, that's what I want. Because I doubt that many of you have budgets for research and development department with lots of people. But if you know your customers shop at Target, you could actually go to shop Target and look at your people and see what they touch, see what they look. And this will give you the profile of your people. This will give you their buying patterns. And that is going to help you with the language and with the understanding of your marketing strategy. And the next 30 days, you do that for the next one, meaning that if you study your buyers, now you study your sellers. If you are studying your sellers, you study your buyers. And what that's going to, again, what that's going to give you in 2 months' time, that every dollar that you spend on marketing, it's going to work tremendously for you. And the reason of that is because you're going to understand, you're going to be communicating the language of your customers. And that's the importance of defining your customers ahead of time as it relates to real estate. So this is my blurb. Mute the calls, and if you have any specific questions, I'll go ahead and take them. Perfect. Good evening, everyone. You are unmuted now. Yeah, you can ask questions if you have any. Oh, this is a quiet bunch. I like it. Now, please do remember, you may have a question and you may be asking it for somebody else. So please don't be shy. It may be helpful for somebody who is a little bit more shy than you. But, do you have any questions? Okay, I guess not. Should we hang up?
Kurt.
Hi, who is this?
This is Cassandra. I'm asking for to make sure that you ain't unmuted, cause it's totally silent. I'm doing good. How are you? And happy Labor Day.
Thank you. Same to you. Wow, life is great.
Good. I missed a couple of minutes of the beginning of the call.
Sure.
About the customer relations and the of getting a record of your buyers, your sellers.
Yep.
I guess pretty much their habits and their tastes.
Yes. So you want to define that, right? What's your game plan? What do you do?
Well, I'm looking wholesaling.
Okay. So when you say wholesaling, you want to flip it to another investor?
Or a buyer. Well, yeah, pretty much a wholesale, just to other investors.
Okay. So in other words, you have two customers, right? You mean your
right.
service, whatever you provide, have two customers. One is the person who are looking to sell homes, right? Because you got to go buy
right.
something to sell, right? So you have those people. And then on the second side, that you have people who you want to sell to because you don't want to hang on to the property. So you have your second customer is the buyer, investor. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now you have two sets of customers. Which one of these people are more important to you?
Well, both of them are important, but the buyer is the one is important because you are looking for a product to sell to them.
Very good. So that's it. So you now are able to identify that, okay, so now when I have 1 hour, I got to work on my buyer's list first because if I don't have a buyer list, I'm going to be stuck with the property based on what I hear you say, right? So
yes.
What you want to go is like, okay, you need to build not just a buyer's list, but you need a buyer's profile. Because, for example, who are you going to sell is going to make a difference. Where are you out of, Cassandra? Are you in Charlotte?
No, I'm in Winston-Salem in North Carolina.
All right. So
it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and who do you sell to? Have you done a deal yet?
I have not. Okay. Actually looking at an area outside of North Carolina, really.
Okay. So, but if you haven't done any deal and you're looking for your buyer, so what do you want to think in terms of who do you want to sell to, right? You want to look for example, I'm just making these up. I'm thinking like, if I was trying to wholesale and I was coming up with a buyer profile, right? I want to make sure that somebody who has money, right, access to money, that they're probably,
right.
If you're new, right, if you haven't done a deal, you want somebody who's done a deal or two, right? Because
right.
You don't want to educate the person because you don't really know a whole lot. So remember, we're
right.
starting with the first one. You start with your own profile, what you're capable of doing, what your resources, right? So you go,
right.
I don't have houses. Let's say I don't have money. I'm really new in the game, so I don't really have a lot of wisdom. Okay, so what can I offer? Well, I got determination, I got hunger, and I got legwork. And I can, you know, I don't need to sleep as much for $5,000. I'm just saying this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now I'm looking for, okay, so if I don't have money, but I have time, what I'm going to do is I need somebody like what Larry teaches, right? I need, if I buy a house, I got to be able to call somebody and they got to be able to buy the house from me. So I'm going to spend my 30 days going to the RIA meetings. I'm going to go to places, who are the players and who are not the players, who has money and who's looking for houses and all this stuff. And I'm going to figure out what that person wants, right? Because what I hear you say is like, well, I don't even want to do Winston-Salem. I'm just going to go wherever the customers are. I'm putting words to your mouth, but you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But you may be able to find a customer like that in where you are. But what you want to do is what usually is once you decide on who that person is, what type of that person, you know, what kind of profile, you want to go and figure out where they hang out, what do they eat. So you really watch them without them knowing you're watching them. And I don't mean like, you know, PI watching. But you're trying to figure out what they do. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
What I mean, for example, is I when I was playing real estate, I noticed all the hard money lenders in Charlotte would be on the back of the room, right? All the newcomers run to the front of the room, but the hard money people always hang out in the back. And I used to be curious, like, why is that? Because they get a better view from that angle. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So who's playing and who's paying attention, who's active and who's not. So what I'm saying to you is you want to know if you need your sellers, you want to really study your sellers. Don't just go, oh, Larry's a buyer. I mean, if you need a buyer, you don't want to just go, Larry's a buyer, Turk is a buyer, and Mark is a buyer. You really want to go meet with these people, buy the coffee, and actually get to know and say, hey, man, what kind of a house are you looking for? What neighborhood are you looking for? Really go in there and say, I'm going to do a lot of work for you. I'm going to feed you. But like Jerry Maguire, you want to go, let me help you to help you. Help me help you. You know what I mean? And
uh-huh.
So you build that relationship. So once that relationship is built, right, so now
right.
you want to go to the other side because now you can move the property. It's easier for you to go ahead and really work on your sellers. You understand why you're separating these things? to put your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because you want to make sure one is done and ready. So now I got my brain ready for what kind of a house my customer wants and what they're going to do with it. And so now when I'm looking for the people who are looking for the houses, I know what kind of a house I'm looking for. I can just say no to everybody else. Don't waste my time. I don't have to drive around. So now I'm using my energy, my brain power for specific things. So now I'm not spending a lot of time and a lot of money on unnecessary marketing costs. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
If I know somebody who's looking for a house in, let's say, in this neighborhood, and I got no money, guess what? I'm walking that neighborhood. I'm knocking on doors. And I'm just saying to people, hey, man, I got a friend who's looking to buy a house here. You know, ask me to knock on the doors. Do you know anybody who wants to sell houses? You see what I mean?
Right.
But I wouldn't do this in all across city unless I already know where the house is going to go to.
Right.
Did that answer your question?
Okay, yeah, I do. That's interesting that you made that statement with saying that the investors go in the back of the room and everybody else is in the front of the room. And, you know, that I get everything you're saying as far as you need to build a relationship, talk to the buyer, find out what it is, what they want. Actually, it helps save time. So you stop wasting time with properties that are not going to move and nobody's going to buy. It's to where you utilize your energy and your time looking for what, you know, somebody wants and what they're looking for. It actually move you a deal faster.
That's exactly right. Based on your game plan, right? So if you rent it,
right.
If you're looking to buy real estate to hold, that's a different thought process. But based on what you're saying in your game, that's how I would do it.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So you're saying just go in the neighborhoods and knock on the doors and ask them, are they looking to sell their home? Got somebody looking to buy, interested in selling?
That's if you don't have money and if you have time.
Right.
So, you know,
okay.
Time is more valuable than money, but it sounded like right now you're short on money. So if you're wholesaling, you're trying to build
right.
some residual cash. So that means that
right.
you got to do some legwork for it.
Right.
But the rule used to be, when I was doing the game, you know, we used to say if it hit the market, it's already overpriced.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to be in your market. You know,
so,
if you get a farm area, you want to work that farm area.
Right. So, in other words, what you're saying is that if it's listed, it's already overpriced.
Well, that used to be the rule. I don't know. But
oh, okay.
But that was a
okay,
good question, Cassandra. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I understand everything you're saying. I appreciate the information.
Of course. All right, anyone else have a question? All right, anyone else with the questions about defining your customers, how to define your customer to increase your profits or your efficiency or effectiveness?
Turk, I got another question.
Yeah.
Is it a better way to find a better market as far as areas other than having to do a whole lot of reading or maybe even just talking to other realtors realtors or investors as far as properties are concerned after you finally build up after you done pretty much your wholesaling and building up your capital in order for you to start investing?
All right. So I hear multiple questions on that question. So Cassandra, I'm going to let you ask one more time so I can get better clarification on what you're asking.
Okay. What would be the best way to, well, I know they say study your marketing and stuff, but would it be, instead of you being scattered in different places, will you think is the best way to find a good market after you build your capital to be able to start investing in properties yourself?
You mean what kind of, what part of the real estate market?
The question is that what is the best way to find a good market to purchase real estate for yourself?
Well, wherever your heart sings. So I think as far as, you want to think, put it this way, right? People who are going into real estate, right, they want to become wealthy. I mean, that's the point, the real estate game, right?
And yes.
To be an investor, you have to be a little bit neurotic, because you're going to be able to see things that other people cannot. That's where the profits are, right?
Right.
So being an investor is a really lonely life. It's not really lonely, but it's an alone life. You got to have other investor friends and things like that, people who can see stuff like you can, because even the people closer to you don't get to see the stuff that you do. So what I suggest to people who are self-employed or investors and things like that, you want to invest in things or in the places that you like to have fun, that you enjoy yourself, right? Because the way that I look at it is this. When you work for yourself, right, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
So if I have a business, and there are times it's foolish to think that every day is going to be rosy, right? So being an investor, that means that you're doing a lot of crappy days. You have a lot of days that you work your ass off and nothing to show for a long, long time. So if that's the case, might as well do it in a place, at least at a place that you like. You know what I mean? So that's what I go for. I say, okay, even if I'm having a really bad day, my hair hurts, my dog peed on my leg, I'm having a shitty day, at least I want to work somewhere where it is, I don't want to kill myself. That's usually a good thing. Or at least I want to work with people that I don't want to gouge my own eyes. So I try to work with people that I like to work with. So even if I'm in a crappy day, at least, you know, I don't want to kill myself because I get to talk to you. You know what I mean? So being an investor is like that. Sometimes what happens is we kind of lost our way from an early stages, and then we try to start working in the business rather than on the business. But you want to remember, we wanted to become investors, right? Because we wanted to be free, not to be in bondage. So it's really important.
Right.
That when you're thinking in terms of your game, is how can I reach that goal? Because it's not always like everybody else says it. I said that in the last meeting, right? Like, you may want to have, let's say that for this year, you may have an annual goal of having 12 properties. Let's just say that, okay? So if you're saying, I want to flip 12 properties and I want to make $5,000 each, and that's about $60,000. A year from flipping houses. Let's just say that, okay? So what sometimes happens, people go, okay, if I flip one house per month, that's and make 5,000, that's kind of a good living for me for my first year. Let's just say that, right? But there's a learning curve. So what happens is, you know, first month you don't sell it, next month you don't sell it. When you're in the third month, you're pretty discouraged. I'm not suggesting you are, but that's what happens to people. They go, shit, man, 3 months, nothing. It's like the family is like, hey, have you sold anything yet? You go to RIA meeting, you're going to kill yourself because they're like, everybody's like, you got a deal yet? You got a deal yet? You're like, no deal yet. And now you're actually kind of beating up on yourself, right? Well, you can't find deals like that because you feel like a loser. You get up in the morning, you feel like a loser. You walk the streets like a loser. You're not going to door like a loser. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, can I help you? Or I'm just walking in the neighborhood. Just thinking those terms. But if you go, you know what? I don't care about the one per month, but I want to sell in year 2018 12 houses. I'm just saying that. So then you can go, first 3 months, I'm just going to study. First month, I'm going to study what I do. Next month, I'm going to study what my buyers do. Next month, I'm going to study something else. So first 90 days, you took no action, but you put your knowledge. You start gathering information. Maybe you still have a job, right? But come third month, 4 months, people go, hey, did you sell property? Or did you buy anything? You're like, no, man. I'm just right now, I'm learning my stuff. And now when you hit the fourth month, fifth month, you're ready. Your buyers are ready. Your sellers are ready. So now you start slowly moving. And before you know it, you're in the ninth month. But now you're doing two homes, three homes at a time, because you took time to put the, you know, engine, the foundation first, the right way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is when you're defining your customers. What we're talking about this is, first, you got to figure out what comes to you naturally, what you like to do, what you have and what you don't have and where you're trying to go. And then you go, okay, how can I build value, right? What can I do for somebody that they're going to give me money? So if you're trying to sell to real estate investors, you want to figure out what's important to them. They want little work. They want, you know, all the legwork done. So if you know that you're going to sell to an investor, right, you want to be able to go, hey, I already pulled the comps for you. This house is here. This is there. And they look at it. It becomes a no-brainer. They go, hell yeah, Cassandra, here we go. And now next time when you call, they take your call because you've already done the work for them. Does that make sense? You want to think in terms of a long play, not short play.
Right.
Real estate is a long play game.
Right. So in other words, you need to have a regular, pretty much a regular buyer. Building a relationship with them is to where it's a business relationship. It's ongoing. And while you're building a buyer's list, when you finish building your buyer's list, are you still building your buyer's list? You're also working on your seller's list.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Based on what you said about your game plan, I would build my buyer list first and then my seller's list.
I got you.
Right?
Because, I understand.
Like, I've been at Larry's office. He buys a home, right?
Uh-huh.
Next phone call, that's an outgoing phone call, is to a seller from a list of sellers. And it is a 10-second call. Hey, I have this, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, because it's established relationship already. The other guy knows. When Larry is calling, he's like, okay, this is already established. So you want to have that relationship.
Right. I got you. I understand what you're saying.
Perfect.
Come ahead, it was helpful.
Great.
I appreciate the information.
Of course, yeah, my pleasure. Anyone else? Anyone else? Going once, going twice. If you have a question, now is the time to ask. We're going to disconnect. Everyone, this was our ASAP call for Larry Goins Inner Circle students. It comes twice a month, first and third Monday at 9 a.m. Next call in 2 weeks. I'll be in Spain and on vacation, so we're not going to have a call on the third. I'll think of you. I'm actually lying. I'll be in Spain. I won't be thinking of you guys. I'll be really recharging my batteries. We'll follow up in October. If you have any questions, feedback, please let us know. asap@lawyergoins.com or customerservice@lawyergoins.com. This call is recorded, so you can access to the calls on the archives where Inner Circle get their archives. My name is Turk Akbar. I work on behalf of Larry Goins to help you guys become better real estate investors so you can be successful in your real estate game. There is nothing for us to sell you here but your own potential. Please stay safe and do the right thing and brag. I think they call it be rich and generous. If you need to reach me, easiest way to get a hold of me via social media is #Turkism, T-U-R-K-I-S-M. Looking forward to speaking with you in first Monday in October. Have a nice evening and be safe. Good night.
You do the same thing, Turk. Turk, enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
Enjoy your vacation, Turk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.